The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Well, now it's time for this shocker.
Barnes with it against him. He scores! Gone beyond his dive, left-hand side. Ashley Barnes back in business. Liverpool 0, Burnley 1.
Oh, we lost the game, which I think is pretty... It's actually impossible to lose, but we did it. And that's my fault.
Great place to win at. It's a very tough place to win at. But the players deserved our foul.
Owen Sheen of Off the Ball, were you as shocked as all the Reds fans?
I don't think you can not be shocked as a result of what happened last night. It's 68 games they've played at home over the last 4 years, 55 wins and 13 draws, but not a single defeat over the course of that period of time until last night, until Sean Dyche's Burnley show up to Anfield and beat them. I don't think many people will argue that it was too, unjust on Liverpool. The performance they put in last night was poor. They probably deserved a point out of the game, Liverpool, but a result like this has been coming, and the results recently have been poor as well. The thing about this season, Pat, is that this is a very strange year. Any other season you might write off a performance like this as the beginning of the end of a title challenge, but really they're only 6 points off top still. It'll be 7 if Manchester City win their game in hand, and it's still very much alive. The issue, though, is they need to turn things around and very quickly, because they just can't score goals at the moment. This is the first time since the end of the 99-2000 campaign that they've gone 4 league matches without a goal.
Now, I remember, you know, when they started on their goal-scoring streak a couple of seasons ago, they were doing well, but they were leaky at the back. Then Virgil van Dijk comes along and they stop being leaky at the back, and you just presume that this goal machine would keep going. So you have to ask yourself, what is wrong with such a fantastic set of forwards?
I don't think even Jurgen Klopp knows the answer to that question, because he's tried out a number of different things. You'll remember before Christmas, there was a few eyebrows raised when he started Mo Salah against Midtjylland in a dead rubber Champions League game. He did a similar thing a couple of weeks back against Aston Villa in the FA Cup. And people have questioned, why are you starting these players? And I think we now know that he realised that players like Salah just weren't in form. He needed to get minutes into them. Now, he's tried the opposite thing last night, which was benching him and bringing him on. That worked a treat in a game against Crystal Palace. But when he came off the bench on that occasion, they had a few goals of a lead. Last night, when he came on to break the deadlock, he just couldn't do it. So you don't want to be picking out any of the individuals from that front three, because Mane and Firmino haven't been brilliant either. But it's Mo Salah's form which will be most worrying for Jurgen Klopp.
You have to give Burnley credit, though.
Absolutely. They've been, at times this season, brilliant. They've been, as they have been in every season in the Premier League, robust and hard to beat. The thing with Burnley is that they have, whenever they concede a goal, generally they tend to get beaten, or certainly if you take a lead against Burnley, it's hard for them to come back at you, because up front they potentially lack the weapons that some of the other teams in the league have. The thing is, when they go a goal up on you, they are a near impossible team to beat. And obviously it was way too late for Liverpool to come from behind last night. Manchester United fans will be rightly very, very happy this morning, because not too long ago they managed to put Burnley away, and they managed to get over that fixture, which was actually at Turf Moor. Whereas Liverpool, comparatively, with an easier fixture given it was at Anfield, couldn't get past them. So, you're right. Burnley do deserve credit, but United managed to get past them not too long ago. And Manchester City, was it 5-0 they beat them a couple of months back? So, comparatively, this is a poor result.
Now, we have not Premiership to look forward to, or Premier League, rather, I should call it. We have the fourth round of the FA Cup, which kind of... It's interesting, I suppose, in what it might tell us about the form of teams, but it's certainly, for me, gone off the boil as an important competition.
And I think more so this year, Pat, because it's going to be a good Premier League title race, isn't it? So you've got Manchester United against Liverpool on Sunday afternoon, probably with about half the hype of last Sunday's game, given these two teams are going to be up probably in the top four of the Premier League this season. This is a bit of an inconvenience for both of them. It's such a compacted season. So don't be surprised to see most of the stars rested here. But again, Jurgen Klopp is presented with this situation. Does he give all his stars a rest, or does he feel that they need to play as much as possible right now to try and just find a goal from somewhere, to just try and find a bit of form out of nowhere? You wouldn't be surprised to see him start perhaps a couple of his first choice attackers. Manchester United, though, look like a side who need a break. The difference, though, is that United have been able to get through their fatigue while actually winning games. That goal from Paul Pogba the other night was the moment of magic that Liverpool are potentially missing at the moment. But nevertheless, it is United against Liverpool. It's still a big game. It is the big game of the weekend. You've got Southampton against Arsenal, another all-Premier League clash tomorrow. And then tonight, it's non-league Chorley up against Wolves at 7:45.
That's, I suppose, the romance of the FA Cup. We have a text here from a smart-ass Everton fan. Hard to believe America has had two presidents since Liverpool last scored a goal. That's one. Actually, he says, an impeachment and an inauguration since the last goal. So there you are. All right. Now, I want to go back to a great moment in Irish sport.
Kerry didn't win the All-Ireland, but Gerry Kiernan has won for Kerry the Dublin City Marathon of 1982.
And that's the voice of the late Brendan O'Reilly, I believe, in commentary, talking about now the late Gerry Kiernan.
Yeah, passed away yesterday. Very sad news. A legend of Irish athletics, a legend of television punditry, as most of your younger listeners would probably attest to over the last few years. He educated the country many a time over the last little while on athletics and informed us all and kept us in the loop about how exactly things should be executed on the course. Like a legend of the game when he stepped up to marathon level in the 80s. You heard a clip there from the Dublin Marathon. Los Angeles is probably what Kiernan himself would have mentioned as the highlight of his career, the Olympic Games, and finishing in the top 10 of what he would have said to have been one of the best fields ever assembled in men's marathon. And I think that marathon will go down as one of the greatest days in the history of Irish athletics. Of course, John Tracy medalling on that day, but Kiernan to finish in the top 10 and finishing in ninth was an incredible achievement.
Yeah, and he did, I think, a time of 2:12, which is, you know, a very respectable time even today.
Absolutely. When you look at the times compared to today, it stands up very, very well. I think there's just been so many different opportunities for marathon runners to earn in different areas of their careers, traveling all around the world. And maybe that's why you had the perfect marriage of things in the early 80s for an all-star cast in that 1984 marathon, and also for the times to follow suit. Obviously, he was a teacher as well, Gerry Kiernan, very dedicated to his craft. I think maybe the only couple of weeks he would have had to take off work would have been to actually travel for that Olympics. He was always keen to honour his commitments as a teacher rather than travelling around the world to run other marathons. He also said he hated flying as well. So maybe actually that was part of the achievement of actually getting over to, I know it was San Diego he did his camp before that 84 Olympic Games. Obviously, a coach to so many great stars of Irish athletics as well. Kira McGeehan, one of the latest ones to pay her tributes over the last 24 hours, because Kiernan would have helped mould her into the great international star that she is today.
Yeah, and the great thing about Gerry was his analysis. He brought a kind of a forensic analysis to athletics that we hadn't seen really in television punditry prior to him. So he will be missed, and may he rest in peace. Now, a couple more texts coming in. Yes, it is bad for Liverpool, but they're still top scorers in the lead, and Salah, top individual scorer. What is that saying about the rest? Says Michael in Arklow. So even in the doldrums, they maintain this record. Sports players who've had COVID-19 are way off form. Quick recovery is no guarantee of long-term effects. And I think that is interesting that you may not even have what is called long COVID, but you just may not be at 100%, even though you've no virus, you've had it, you think you've shaken it off, but, you know, you could be just not firing on all cylinders, Owen.
That's it. And the Salah one is interesting because there was a couple of different stories regarding his COVID situation. Obviously, he went to his brother's wedding and that's where he contracted it. It was said that he had mild coronavirus symptoms. And then I think it was Klopp who said he hasn't shown any symptoms of coronavirus. Maybe there is a lingering effect on that, because we know a player like Kai Havertz who had quite bad coronavirus, the Chelsea footballer, and he's been struggling to regain full fitness and form all season long. We just don't know this season. There's so many things that can be going on in the private life of a player that I do think players deserve a bit of a break, but I think Liverpool almost deserve an extra bit of a break this season if they do continue to, I guess, fall away from this title challenge. Because let's not forget, they essentially put in a title-winning performance of a season 2 years ago. Like any other season, bar that one, they would have won the Premier League when they finished second to Manchester City. They won the Champions League that season, and then they followed it up last year by actually getting over the line and winning the Premier League with an extraordinary points tally once again. So you add in the pandemic season on the back of two remarkable efforts from this team, you're bound to see a bit of a drop-off. But when you're at those heights, you've got to be expecting more. You've got to be expecting higher standards from your team. And every team wants to win every game they go out and play. So plenty of challenges for Jurgen Klopp.
Okay. And finally, we've got that deferred game, that postponed game, Munster versus Leinster, Thomond Park kickoff at 7.35 tomorrow evening. And it's quite important, really, because we're close to Six Nations, and therefore people who have ambitions to play on the national side or continue to play on the national side have got to show up big time.
It's a huge game. I think if this game was played on the 26th of December, maybe Munster would have had a full team, Leinster not so full. Whereas on this occasion, it's probably going to be hell for leather. Two really strong teams going up against one another. It's a rivalry that Leinster have dominated in recent years. Leinster fans may say it's not been a rivalry whatsoever. In the semi-final of the Pro 14 at the end of last season, there was a gulf between the sides, and it has been striking how much Munster have improved since then. Their attacking play has got a hell of a lot better. They obviously had that famous win away to Claremont in the Champions Cup this season, and they sit atop their conference in the Pro 14 this season. Leinster don't. Leinster need to win tomorrow night to close the gap on Ulster. I know they've got a couple of games in hand, but if they lose tomorrow, they may not make that final in the Pro 14, which is not something anybody would have expected.
All right, Owen Shane of Off the Ball, thank you very much for joining us.